annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
And episode 21 is live right now, wherever you are streaming us or downloading us. Welcome along to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards, and sitting next to me is...
Josh Tonner.
A.K.A.
Timmy.
That's right, man.
Timmy. I thought it was Josh Timebomb Tonner.
Timbomb.
Okay.
Timbomb. We'll discuss that later on.
All right. Yeah, Joshy is going to join us a little bit later on. He's got K1 coming up, which is absolutely sensational. So, Joshy's here with us in the studio.
He's going
right
to be
now.
Fighting around the world, man.
Yeah, I know.
Russell Crowe in South Park.
Well, you've done it. I mean, K1, you've had plenty of K1 stories here on the podcast, but any words of advice for Josh heading over for K1?
Chin up, hands down, hope for the best.
Yeah. Chin up, hands down. How does that work? Even I know that's not right. Oh, dearie me.
Well, Josh is my, when I do MMA, he's my striking coach.
Yeah, okay.
So he should be telling me stuff now. He's gonna be my stand-up coach when I do MMA.
Okay.
I'll still do boxing with Gazza, but in terms of all my kickboxing stuff, it's all going to be with Josh.
Nice. Well, just on that, Benny, this Saturday night, now, I can't bloody come along. I'm spewing because I'm minding, my missus has got her hen's night this weekend, so I'm minding my lead singer's kid so his wife can go because he's away. So I'm babysitting instead of coming to your next fight. So how are you man? How's the prep going?
Yeah, awesome, mate. Had a last couple of weeks has been real good, so I'm still coughing up some loogies, but feel awesome.
Yep.
Fittest fat guy in town.
You got some good bruising on the arms and stuff.
Yeah,
there.
I've done a lot of sparring. We on Saturday, I got a Facebook message from Shaggy King, a kickboxer in Queensland, from the corporate box gym. Awesome gym, put out some real good boxes and kickboxers.
Yep.
And he sent me a message saying, mate, I've got a friend who just left the Queensland Reds. He's just joined the Brumbies. He's a really good boxer. Can he jump in with you and do some rounds, or he's looking for a place to train? I messaged him at 10 a.m. We were sparring at 12:30.
Yeah, right.
And he's freaking awesome. His name is Lolo. He's just like a brand new Brumbies recruit. He's only 20 years old, but he's an absolute gun, mate. Tall as me, 110, yep. Faster than me. So we've got like 10, 12 rounds in already in the last 3 days. So
yeah,
it's been
nice.
Awesome. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, and then I went up to St. Mary's on Monday with the Lions High Performance crew, Tai Tuivasa, who's fighting for the AFC heavyweight MMA title. He's the top gun in MMA in Australia right now. He's not signed to the UFC.
Well, it's funny, Mark Hunt came out in the week and said he'd go great in UFC, which I find funny. Mark Hunt hates the UFC at the moment, but he's going to put Tai in.
Mate, Tai's, he's going to, and there's no rush for Tai. He's 22, mate. He's 22. He just dropped like 22 kilos.
Yeah.
And he was agile at 150. Now he's walking around at like 125, 128. We'll weigh in at 120.
Yep.
But, mate, he's an absolute gun. Great, great group of guys, mate. Awesome. I love training up there, so I'm looking forward to going up.
Nice work. So you're all set to go Saturday night?
Ready to rock,
four
man.
Rounds, isn't it?
Yeah, four rounds. So I'll get to my last week of fight prep. But now they've got some pads with this arvo with Steve Rudick, Commonwealth Games bronze medalist, and that'll be it for the fight muscles.
Okay.
Do some hill sprints tomorrow morning, blow the lungs out, and that's it.
There you go.
And just watching TV till the fight.
All right, well, we'll talk about that later because someone's actually sent in a question about how you handle fight week, so we'll get to that. Larry's going to be out at Bathurst in the traffic chopper this week, so we'll catch up with him. Guide to Fighting is back this week. And
who we got?
A formidable foe, Benny. The common cold.
Oh, that's more formidable than a lion tamer.
It is, isn't it? Like, so, yeah, we'll get to that soon.
All right.
So, plenty on the way. Bifurama, what do you got coming up?
The UFC 204 preview, the big Hendo Bisping rematch for the UFC middleweight title. The trash talk's been awesome, and Bisping kids sort of betrayed him.
Oh, Bisping's kids are great.
He's a legend. He's the same as his dad. Like, he's just Perfect. You need to get the Mortine out. The UFC is actually, with their new ownership, has been the company that took it over. They manage a whole bunch of celebrities, and they've offered celebrity stakes in the UFC. And a whole bunch of celebrities have actually bought into the UFC.
Yeah, right.
So there's some pretty very well known celebrity
owners
part
now.
Owners of the UFC, and Tyson Fury. He's mate.
What's
he's
going on with him this
mate,
week?
He's a mess. He
needs to call Lifeline. He needs help,
mate. He does, man. And yeah. It gets pretty bloody deep. But I've got the full wind up on what's happened there. He was supposed to fight for the world title. Pulled out, tested positive for coke, and there's been a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Retired, unretired.
Pikeys.
The Gypsy King. Well, he's talking about moving to LA to get out of Great Britain because everyone hates him there. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's it, mate.
All right, well, that on the way and plenty more. Local music from Drawing North coming up and a stack of great stuff. Now, we played a couple of songs off this new Alter Bridge album. It's out this Friday and they released another song to people that pre-ordered the album. It's called My Champion, and if you listen to the lyrics for you guys in the fight game, this would be a perfect walkout song, this one. Some great shredding, some positive uplifting lyrics about getting up when you get knocked on your ass. Happy days.
I'm not feeling it, man.
You're not feeling it?
Songs that I get pumped up over weird shit. You know what song pumps me up, man?
What?
Call Me Maybe.
But just Carly Rae Jepsen.
The optimism is just pumps you up. I'm
ready
for war,
this song
man.
Is full of optimism.
I don't like it, man.
Really?
No.
You would rather walk out to Carly Rae Jepsen than Alter Bridge.
Dude, I'm ready for war.
You've
Call
changed,
Me Maybe,
dude.
Man.
You've
I'm
changed.
I'm ready for war. We'll be right back. was My Champion by Alterbridge with Mr. Mark Tremonti on the shred. And now we're going to Eye in the Sky, Larry, who's over Bathurst for the 1,000.
That was a good back announce, but you didn't tell anyone who you are or where we are. But that was okay.
Who are we?
Let's give yourself an uppercut podcast, Benny.
Oh.
Lather here, hovering above Bathurst this week. That's right, it's the Give Yourself an Uppercut Traffic Report, Rev Head Edition. Get in your old Falcon or Bombardor and get your ass up here. It's the classic Aussie battle that stops the nation. V8s screaming their tits off, Bogans dragging around their Eskies and cheering and arguing over who's better, Holden or Ford. Because honestly, who gives a fuck about Nissan or that other one? If you're having trouble finding the parking lot, just listen for the sound of valves bouncing and rev limiters hitting maximum. Or just follow the cloud of smoke and the burning tyre smell. Now, Mark Winterbottom is claiming he's going to take the checkered flag this year. Good luck to him. What kind of a name is Winterbottom anyway? Well, I suppose it's better than Summer Crotch. Anyway, start your engines, motorsports fans. I'll be back next week with a wicked thong tan and a hangover. Go the Holdens!
Another quality traffic report from Larry there, and it's time to thank our wonderful sponsor, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Benny, I know you went in last week and filled up. How's that all gone down?
Awesome, mate. I had T-bone for breakfast. And on these live reads, how come you don't give me anything to read anymore, man?
Well, because I don't need to. We're 21 episodes in. So
you can
just ad-lib and make it up, mate. You've been there now. I don't have to give you stuff to say because you've been there.
You don't appreciate my reading skills, man.
No, that's not it at all, Benny.
Well,
the best ads are the ads that come from the heart off the cuff, mate. And well, you've been there and eaten the food,
when it comes
so
to
away
meat,
you go.
I do speak from the heart when it comes to the butcher shop.
Yeah, nice.
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I'm in love with all the meat there.
Now, I'm going to tell you the name of their new product that launches this week.
I don't even know the names of the old products,
okay,
man.
But
just tell me what it looks
one.
Like I'll and
just,
I'll point at it.
Well, I'm going to tell you this one. It's
I know the
new.
Jumbuck.
You haven't seen this one. And
what is it?
You're going to giggle, I'm sure, when I say it's the lamb clam.
Wow. Grow up, Spready. Grow up.
No, it's lamb rump that's filleted and it's stuffed with Swiss cheese, onion, miracle bacon, garlic. What else was in it? Baby spinach, and the cheese, as I
Bloody
said.
Hell.
Oh God, they look good.
Sensational. I'm lost for words, mate. I'm mouth watering.
Oh, I've got one out in the fridge. You can eat it raw right now if you want to mung on it during the podcast.
Would you mind cooking it?
I could do that too.
Thanks, man.
Right, if you want to get the best meat in town, all you have to do is head to the butcher shop. Dixon and Kayleen is where you will find them. Go in and see Ian, Lynn, and the crew, and they'll look after you.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
All right, Scotty. Josh and I are ready for segment two of your guide to fighting. Last time we learned how to fight a lion tamer.
You did, yes.
Who are we fighting
well,
this time?
Well, I mean, you two know how to throw a hook, throw an uppercut, you know,
Liverpool
throw a
kiss,
jab, all that
Liverpool
sort of
kiss.
Stuff. Yeah, Liverpool
uppercut
kiss.
Uppercut to the face.
The old Jay Burkett
uppercut
special,
yourself
as
in
I
the
call
face.
It. But, you know, not often that the average man in the street will find himself in the position of being in the ring or a street fight, you know. But we all have fights every single day. And
such
we all
as?
Come up against foes. Like lion tamers. The circus is in Queanbeyan at the moment, Ben. Who knows if there's going to be a rogue
past.
lion tamer
past.
Down there. You just wouldn't know. This week, the common cold.
It's always common.
It is, isn't it? Well, that's hence why we call it that. So, yeah, so bear with me. This is how you beat the common cold, all right? So
garlic?
Yeah, no doubt. Just hang.
Sorry.
Hold tight,
Sorry.
Son.
It's
hold
garlic,
tight.
Isn't it?
No doubt you've already been given plenty of advice on how to beat a cold. Like Benny said, garlic, chicken soup, vitamin C, wolf's bane. Nah, none of it. It's all total bullshit. None of them
wolf
work.
What?
Wolf's bane.
What's bane?
Wolf's bane, B-A-N-E. It's a herb. It's a plant.
Oh, I'll have to give that a go.
No, don't use
it. Doesn't work.
It doesn't
Sorry.
Work, Benny. It's because they're all actually something known as a placebo. Now, a placebo is something that someone gives you and they'll tell you that it's going to work, but it actually does nothing. This is called getting lied to or lying. Placebos, they're full. It's like someone giving you a Tic Tac and telling you it's going to heal a broken leg. It just won't happen. If you want to beat the common cold, the way to do it, and this one actually works, trust me, you need a wizard's magical potion. Bear with me.
Come with me
on this journey, Benny.
The anticipation is killing me.
There's a wizard's potion for everything. Love, invisibility, levitation, sass, one that prevents face reddening after you call a co-worker by the wrong name in front of the Coke machine guy. You've got to get the potion off the wizard, right? And there are two ways to kill a wizard because you have to kill him to get the potions, okay?
Can you ask him?
just bear with me, sorry, Benny. See, this is like me and the Bifarama segment.
Payback's a bitch.
Shut up, Scotty. You're going to ruin my segment. Okay, so what you want to do, there are two ways to kill a wizard so you can take all his potions. You can kill him by beheading him, or you can kill him with kindness. However, there is a third option to get him to give the potions to you. And the best way to do that is slowly over time is to break his heart, just disappointing him again and again and again until he questions the very existence of the true good in the world.
I think I have a few ex-girlfriends that think I'm a wizard.
Really?
They're trying to break me one disappointment at a time.
Let's elaborate on this one, okay? Prove to him that he was wrong to put his faith in you. If he gives you money to, you know, go to school or whatever, spend it on grog or buy a jet ski. Then ingest the grog and show up unexpectedly at his castle. Borrow his winged steed-drawn chariot or his 78 Celica without asking. And when you return it all battered up, just say, oh, it was already like that. Who are you? The goddamn drug and alcohol police. The guy's going to get very offended by this, right?
There's a lot of information to process here, man.
Hey, who said beating a wizard was easy, Benny? You know, and this is a podcast. You can just rewind it. Just keep going with me. Now, what you want to do, the last straw is to steal money from the guy. If you do that, most people won't put up with that, right?
You can behead him, but you can't steal money off him.
Well, what you want to do is you want to break into his house or his castle, wherever he lives, find his wallet. It'll look just like a regular wallet. It'll just have glittery stars and half moons on it. Open it up, take out the money or the purple crystals inside, toss it on the ground, take his money, sneer at him, and trust me, he'll appear out of the doorway in his bedroom and he'll just say, just take it and go then. And success. He's heartbroken. You can take the potions and away you go. Now, let's take care of that cold of yours. Pass up the healing and protection spells for a powerful orange liquid he'll be storing in a plastic bottle rather than a glass beaker. It'll be labeled Gatorade. Drink this concoction immediately. Then get plenty of rest and drink lots of water. That's how you'll beat the common cold.
By drinking Gatorade?
Pretty much, because nothing beats the common cold, and that's the whole...
nothing can defend.
nothing can. That's the whole...
You know what beats the cold? Every time, your immune system.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifarama.
That's insane in the membrane.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and Joshy Ton has been pretty quiet now, just sitting back, shaking his head, going, what the fuck are you two on about?
He's plotting.
I reckon in this segment, he's going to come into his own. This is Benny's Bifarama, so it's the fight game. Knows a lot about it. Benny, take it away.
Have we already done the intro?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'll have to...
Pay attention. I've got to get you some headphones.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, let's go.
I bought two sets of headphones in one day the other day. Another story. UFC 204, man. The rematch for the ages, Hendo versus Bisping. And before I get started, I'm trying a new thing today. I'm just doing cliff notes. I'm not reading what I'm writing word for word.
That's the best way to do it.
Because you destroyed my confidence in that in the first episode. I've got over it. So, their first fight at UFC 100 back in July 2009, one of the biggest knockouts ever. It was just a monster. And he knocked him out cold. Big flying forearm into the head, which ended up becoming Dan Henderson's logo on his hat and his shirt and everything. So he was really sticking it to him. Now, Hendo is a 46-year-old Olympic wrestler with ridiculous KO power, and his hands are affectionately known as the H-bombs. Here's him talking about the fight.
You know, I was pretty excited to hear that they were going to give me a fight against Bisping for the title. To have that opportunity at this point in my career is just a blessing. Especially it being my last fight, I want to make sure that I go out with a W.
Honestly, he's one of the best fighters to ever live. What he did, he was a two-weight world champion in Pride, perennial contender in the UFC, he's vowed to retire after this fight, win, lose, or draw. So it'd be very rare for a guy to retire as the champion if he was to win.
Yeah, right.
Bisping, he's not really a specialist in anything, and I've always sort of been one of those guys who says you have to be good at everything, but you really got to specialize in something. But Bisping is the exception. He is like a true fighter. He's fought the who's who. I've got some names written down here, mate. He won the Ultimate Fighter 3 in 2006.
Yep.
He's fought Anderson Silva, Luke Rockhold twice, Chael Sonnen, Vanderlei Silva, Rashad Evans, and Vitor Belfort, where Vitor fully gassed up Vitor in Brazil, kicked him in the eye, detached his retina, and he ended up going on to have eye surgery, which involved completely removing the eye from the socket.
Yeah, wow.
It was crazy. Now, I spoke to an optometrist when I hurt my eye in that the boomerang cage fight that keeps popping up on
With Donnie Lester.
Yeah, that keeps popping up on Facebook. And I said, mate, do I have a detached retina? What's the, you know, can I fight again, this and that? And he goes, oh, you know, if it comes off once, you know, they can probably reattachment, you know, barring any complications. But if it comes off twice, your chances of not being blind per se, but not being, well, just blurry vision permanently in that eye is just skyrockets.
Through the roof, yep.
No pun intended, skyrocket, eye socket.
Mm-hmm. When did he fight Vitor?
That was during Vitor's run where he won fights with like three head kicks in a row. So I think that was like 2013. It was well before Asada kicked in and started heavily drug testing people. So for Bisping to actually take the risk and keep fighting after that.
Yeah.
And when he's already set, mate, he lives in Florida with you got three kids, he's a millionaire, his house, he's got a mansion.
Oh, his house is awesome.
The guy's a legend, mate, and he deserves everything he gets. He's actually filming I think he's in my biopic, the Lenny McLean movie, as another British bare knuckle boxer, Pretty Boy Roy Shaw. Like, all these guys are absolute hardcore legends in the underground boxing scene in the UK. So, and he's the perfect guy to play for it.
Yeah, nice.
So here's him having a chat about the fight.
Out of all the top four contenders right now, none of them have the ability to turn somebody's lights out with one shot. Dan Henderson has that. That's what makes him incredibly dangerous. That's why I've got to respect him. That's why there's a pool of sweat at my feet right now as we talk. Send this guy into retirement. Give the people what they came to see. Defend the belt. Get paid. Remain world champion. Simple as that.
Molding the bottom.
Getting bottom one?
I just put my impression of the bottom teeth in there. Mm-hmm.
The ones you're going to use for a fight?
That one probably.
Last time, Bisping's kid, he actually picked Luke Rockhold to beat his dad. And for this fight, not much has changed. Have a listen.
All right, guys. Well, I guess this is goodbye, everybody. Lucas, you going to miss daddy?
I can't.
That's it. Right, come here. Any cuddles?
Five.
Big, 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 big cuddles. I love you, buddy.
I did.
Yeah, you're horrible. Come here, darling. Love you, sweetheart.
Who's going to win?
I love it.
I'd be knocking that little jerk out of the wheel, wouldn't you?
It might be a good omen. Imagine if Harry, Josh's kid's like, if you find a guy called Jimmy and you go to Harry, who's going to win? Jimmy's going to knock you out, Dad. You wouldn't be too happy, eh? Little bastard. So I'm actually picking Bisping to win via late stoppage, man. His stand-up, and I think you'd actually appreciate the pad work, mate. He's come such a long way.
Yep.
And he's never been known as a big banger, but, mate, he's dropped Anderson Silva with his left hook, dropped Luke Rockhold with his left hook. His last two fights, he's really got his eye in. And in MMA gloves, you don't have to be a big banger. You just have to be fast and accurate, and 10 years of training, that's what you get under your belt.
We got that audio off the UFC fight vlog leading into the fight, and it's a great watch on YouTube if you want to go and check it out. And Bisping's trainer says he's been fantastic in this camp.
Jason Perillo, who's also worked with BJ Penn and that, he's actually not a bad trainer. I thought he was a bit of a weirdo when I first saw him interviewed and stuff. He used to work with Tito Ortiz and that, a few of the other guys there, but he's obviously done some good work with Bisping. Have a look at this. It's the UFC countdown for this one.
Yeah.
And mate, Bisping's stand-up really looks a million bucks, and he's training like a contender. And that's what his trainer Perillo said. He goes, mate, he's been a contender for 10 years. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
He's got the belt, but he's still training like he's got everything to prove.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting, especially when it's taking place at like 8 o'clock in the bloody morning,
Manchester.
UK time. How drunk are they going to be? Half the crowd's going to be kicked out.
Yeah.
I think my record for kicking people out on a Saturday night is like 25 or something. Imagine you're at a stadium like with 20,000 mad poms in there, and they've been on the piss for 12 hours.
Yeah,
no, it's going to be a nightmare. Hectic,
yeah.
So we'll move on. The UFC has been bought, like, the $4.2 billion that it went for was the WMEIMG, and that's William Morris Endeavor. And I didn't look to see what the IMG stood for, but we don't need to know. So they actually
International Management Group.
It is. It's a conglomerate.
Yes.
What's that mean?
It's got a bunch like of different like businesses huge, come together to fund thing. A super business, if you will.
And they actually manage like Ronda Rousey and all this sort of thing. And since they've taken over from the UFC for $4.2 billion, which actually wasn't the biggest offer, but
The
UFC picked them because they thought they'd do the best job with the product. Okay. So God knows how much more they got offered than $4.2
And from who?
Trump.
Who?
I think Trump's busy. Trump actually helped them out. And Dana did a speech for Trump at one of his rallies. When the UFC was banned in most places, Trump let them put fights on at some of his casinos and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So, move back to the WME IMG. They've actually offered some of their clients a stake in the UFC. And a lot of them have bought into it, including people like Conan O'Brien, Ben Affleck, Sylvester Stallone, Tom Brady, the NFL quarterback,
yep.
Mark Wahlberg, Adam Levine, Maria Sharapova, Serena Williams, and LL Cool J are now all part owners of the UFC.
Do we know how much, like, was it a share package that they all bought? Did they all the same package? Yeah.
Do they get a say in how the UFC's operated?
Not if they're a part owner, you would
think.
I think
they just...
It'd just be to...
A percentage of the share profits?
They're basically shareholders, so... They'd have a very silent majority on the board, so they wouldn't get a huge say in how it's run. But
they're just sitting back and watching the money
roll in. And just watch the money roll in, yeah.
I'm waiting for my 0.00001% to roll in.
Yeah, nice.
Which I 4.2 ain't
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, that'll be okay.
So on to Tyson Fury in the boxing world. Yeah. So this has been crazy. So after winning the IBF, IBO and WBO world titles in November last year against longtime reigning champion Vladimir Klitschko, they were trying to organise a rematch. After a lot of negotiations, finally in April, it got slated for July this year, and the original fight was in November. Then that fight was postponed due to a calf injury by Tyson Fury, which he legitimately had. He put a photo up, he had a big black calf. It was finally again reslated for October this year, but on September 23, Tyson declared himself medically unfit due to depression. The day after, he tested positive for cocaine and the fight was postponed indefinitely, is possibly going to be stripped of his world titles.
Wow.
Now, he made light of the situation on Twitter, put in a photo of himself dressed as Tony Montana, but he hashtagged it Tyson Montana with his head on Tony Montana's body with a big pile of blow on the table. And he followed that up with the following tweet of, quote, "Boxing is the saddest thing I ever took part in. All a pile of shit. I'm the greatest and I'm also retired, so go suck a dick. Happy days."
So there was that, and then not long after that,
then he unretired, but he's also said some like shocking things, like apart from his well-publicized homophobic and misogynistic stuff that he's spoken about, he's done some things on depression, and it's pretty bloody awful. Here's another quote from him. "I hope I die every day, and that's a bad thing to say when I've got 3 children and a lovely wife, isn't it? But I don't want to live anymore, and if I could take my own life, I would. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd take it in a second. I just hope someone kills me before I kill myself so I don't have to spend an eternity in hell." So
he obviously needs a hell of a lot of help.
Oh, mate, and especially with coke. Like, you know, I've had problems as well, but I think, like, it's just compounded. Like, he turned to coke, I turned to painkillers, and mate... It doesn't help things. No. You feel good for an hour or two, and then you're just in a world of hurt. So, in my opinion, from my experience, I think you just put boxing on the back burner for a bit, get out of the public spotlight, and mate, sort yourself out, man. And I've no doubt that he meant that when he said it.
Mm.
But then you go on to think about what happened to my family, and then you feel even worse than what you did before.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
It's a very vicious cycle, man. So I just hope he sorts himself out, mate.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him come back and fight Klitschko.
Mate, he's only 28.
Yeah,
he's 28 years old. He was talking about moving to Vegas, moving to LA after the rematch.
Yeah.
So he's 28 years old for a heavyweight. He's got 10 years of fighting left in him. He's never been knocked out. He'd never lost. Mate, just take a year off, sort yourself out, and get back in there.
Yeah, nice.
And on that very depressing note, that's it.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom
in front of one very disinterested diamond python
and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
No, that's not Alan. Steve, not Steve.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Time to thank our other wonderful sponsor on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Lang's Auto. Benny, you look like a man with something to say.
I do have something to say, Scotty.
Yeah, what's that?
Lucky I've got a microphone in my face so I can vent my rage.
Oh, here we go.
I got cut off on the way here, man, on Canberra Avenue.
Yeah.
By this very well-balanced, well-driving van. That had a Lang's Auto sticker on the back of it, man.
Wouldn't have been a Lang's van. I mean, there are many cars in this part of the world. All over
business.
Canberra. There
was another
so many Lang's stickers.
But the guy was a jerk, but the car was driving $1 million. It was smooth as.
So there you go. If you've got a Lang sticker on your car, just remember you're representing a very favourable brand out there. Don't be a knob behind the wheel.
Like those guys that escaped from the McConaughey Centre.
Was that? That guy. And the morning that happened, the two dudes that got out of the McConaughey Centre, Johnny Lang's phone started blowing up. That was the morning.
And the McConaughey Centre is a prison here in Canberra.
Right. That was the morning of my Bucks party. So we're at my Bucks party all talking about it. And Johnny's like, those shirts are 10 years old. We haven't had those shirts for years.
His
phone
would have been lighting up.
We reckon someone flogged it. But yeah, the guy that got out of jail never worked at Lang's. They don't employ criminals.
You know what? Guy escaped from jail, he might have stolen it.
The only thing that's too criminal about Lang's Auto is how cheap their servicing is, Benny. That's criminal.
You get what you pay for.
Oh, and you get a great service down there.
Well and truly.
Indeed. And all the slips you need for New South Wales Rego and insurance as well. Get down and see them. 44
Yass Road. You just say your
Fiesta
in there, man.
In Queen.
Sorry. 44 Yass Road, Queen. Sorry for cutting you off, Scotty.
That's all right, Benny.
I'm used to it.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast,
it's time to get loud
and local.
Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
Well, you may have heard this before, but before we get into it, Benny and Josh have just ducked out into my backyard for a bit of pad work. The boys obviously getting fired up for the K1 that's coming, and we are going to talk to Josh very soon. He's been very quiet through this episode, but he's going to be under the spotlight after this, which is the brand new thing for Drawing North, Canberra's own. The boys have been together for quite a while now, since high school. Their new album has just come out this week. It's called El Dorado, signed to a big multinational record company, doing great things. This song is called Piece of the Light. Local lads, Drawing North, go and find them on Facebook. Go and check them out on YouTube. This is awesome.
Hold that smile and clean up your eyes. Don't wait for lows to break your highs. We're all lonely in the dark of the night. We're just trying to catch a piece of the light. It's all right. We're all lonely in the dark of the night. we're just trying to catch a piece of the light. To hold that smile and clean up your eyes.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
That's exactly what it is, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen and the crew at Lang's Auto. And Benny, we've been trying to get this guy on the podcast for a few weeks now. You managed to wrangle it midday session of recording the podcast, which is a bit different for us.
Well, by trying to get him on the podcast means I left it a bit late and only asked him this week and he said yes. So it's kind of my fault.
So it's all your fault.
It's my fault it took so long. I asked him one day, he said, yeah, sure, no worries.
Please welcome to the podcast, Josh Time Bomb Totter.
Woo! Get it, AKA Timmy.
Thanks for having me.
Mate, our absolute pleasure. I was just saying to you before, Josh, every time I jump on Facebook the last few months, it seems like you're fighting every other weekend, man. I know K1's coming up, but you've had a pretty hectic schedule, haven't you?
Yeah, man. The last couple of weeks, fought twice in 2 weeks. I had a hard one against a Chinese guy called Li Ning. And then
was
I thought,
that at Horton Pavilion?
Yeah,
was
that Li Ning? Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that's going to let that go?
No, we all
let it go.
We all let it go.
Scotty.
Come on! It had to be said. But that was obviously a tough one. But is the reason behind that to get you ready for what's coming up in K1, or is it just the way the cards have felt with a bunch of different promotions?
I think Josh
up?
Just wants to fight all the bloody time.
Yeah, no, I need to. I wanted to get heaps of experience. When I first started, I was only having 3 or 4 a year, and I met a guy called Israel, and he seemed to think like fighting all the time was a good idea. And
yeah,
I've seen the benefit getting more experience.
That's what they used to do, like back in the day. They'd fight every 2 weeks, and like for world. What are you laughing at, man?
How many weeks have we been doing this?
I'm trying to look at the microphone.
You're moving a microphone stand wallet.
But I didn't want to do the Vaughny mistake and keep looking at Josh.
I need to get you some headphones because you can't hear what happens when you touch a microphone stand mid-interview.
So should I?
Can you hear that? Can you hear that?
Everyone can f***ing hear it, Benny.
Sorry, folks. What was I saying, man? That was a good point.
No, you're saying back in the day.
But yeah, like you'd have like... I'm not looking at the corner of my eye, Scotty. What's your name? Josh? I've only known you for 47 years.
I get up when we have guests in, man, and if he looks sideways, you can't hear him on the microphone like that.
Oh, I see. So aim.
He's I'm not going to look in the middle, man.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Beautiful.
But yeah, in the day, like Sugar Ray, not Leonard, Robinson, they'd fight like every 2-3 weeks for world titles.
Yeah.
Now you're lucky to get 2 fights in a year.
Yeah.
So it's the best way. You learn on the job, especially once you got your foundation, you got your basics well and truly down pat. 5, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You should be. That's how you stay busy, man. It's match fitness and you get your iron, man. And you don't have to spar hard. Everyone knows how anti heavy sparring I am. Yeah. You don't have to spar hard.
Well,
you don't have to spar hard if you're fighting all the bloody time.
Yeah, right.
You just work on your skills and drills.
Nice.
Well, can we talk about how you got the nickname Timmy? Timmy? Even though your name's Josh? Josh and I was. I've pretended to ask him a question, but I'm actually going to talk. We were signing posters. How long ago? 2008.
Oh man, it was a while ago.
And I'm doing, you know, Ben, Garv Edwards, blah blah blah. And Josh is doing, you know, Josh Time Bomb Tonner, blah blah blah.
I signed 2 posters as well. Two.
He left out the Yee on Time Bomb, so it was the Tim Bob, and that's evolved into Timmy. So everyone's like, who's Timmy? Who's that Timmy you keep talking about?
I thought it might have had a South Park connotation.
Timmy! Eagle fight, man.
It's the joys of a
cripple
wheelchair.
Fight.
What a fantastic episode that was.
Yeah, it's timeless.
Now, K1, Josh, I mean, Benny's been there and done that in K1. You've got it coming up. Tell us all about K1 in Japan. What's on the horizon?
Oh, man, I've been wanting this for ages. After, I'll start from the start.
Yep.
In 2008, after my second fight, I saw on the internet there was a tryout for the K1 to fight on the undercard of the K1 Max.
Yep.
And the K1 Max back then was the premium Masada. Middleweights in the world.
Yep.
Which was like 72 kilos, I think it was.
Yep.
Yeah, all the legends were there. Masada, John Wayne Parr was there.
Yeah,
it was good.
The killers, Artem Kishenko.
Anyway, I wanted to have a go, and I didn't really know too much about it, but it was like a trip to go to Japan.
Yep.
And I went up there, and it was really, really tough. There was four of us, and we each had like just one-minute round. You'd fight, and then you'd have another one. And anyway, that's when I sort of got into K1, and from there, I researched some of the fighters. I saw John Wayne Parr on there, Borkow, Masato, and Masato's he was like the poster boy.
Yeah, these guys are legends, man. Yep. The most exciting fights I've ever watched, and like the lighterweight kickboxing guys.
Yeah, right.
It's just balls to the wall action.
Yeah, and then just watching it, and that's sort of how I developed my style, was like sort of fast Western style boxing with a leg kick or mid kick, high kick on the end of it.
With the tie kicks.
Mm-hmm. And then remember Ben got his shot on there, and like that was one of the best time, like the best times training up for that one, and the eight man that we all fought in Canberra.
Yep, the Oceania.
Yeah,
yep.
And then I was just, I'd all try and research who to talk to because I wanted to get on it, but I just never seemed to get a chance. And then there was an opportunity to go to England, and me and my wife went over, and it was just sort of like a open tournament. Anyone can go in.
Yep.
And I ended up only having one fight. I went like, you know, straight to the final, and I got won by a knockout in the second round. He wasn't very good, but anyway.
Shut up.
A win's a win.
Yeah. And then I met a guy called Paul Hennessy. He's a director of ISKA, and he has heaps of input in all the K1 shows.
Yep.
And from then, it was 2014, and from then, I just kept pestering him. I just said, I want to...
You were on Facebook all the time, just going, I'm ready for this, I want my shot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You were all over it, man, and that's
well,
cool.
Not only that,
it was
I was
like that Monday after a fight.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Not only that, I kept emailing. I think I emailed him 10 times, and then...
You thought it was spam.
Yeah, probably.
You thought it was Viagra sales or something.
And then I was on holiday in Queensland, and he goes, oh, I've got a shot for you at 55. And like I was like,
what do you normally fight at?
I'm starting to find it around 60 kilos. And I said, yes, like any chance,
yeah.
I probably would have died.
But if you get your missus to shave your bum hair like you have in the past, you'd be 57 years when you
drop
true story. Hi, Kirsty.
But that ended up falling through. He just never got back to me. It was a bit unreliable.
Yeah.
And then June this year, I was just coming home from, I think, from dinner, and I looked at my phone and got a message from him saying, opened a new division, 57 kilos.
Yep.
And you can have a go at that one.
Yeah, nice.
That would So, K1 rules for the uninitiated. They used to change them every 6 weeks, but it's basically kickboxing, so punches, kicks. And what's the go with the grapple now? Because they used to change the grappling rule every 2 seconds, because when I was in it, kickboxing, punches and kicks like normal, but the grappling rule was you can clinch, throw one strike, then you got to let go.
Right.
You know what it is now? Have they changed it, or is it still the same?
As far as I know, I think that's the same.
I think they're just trying to get as much action as possible out of the thing. And now, for the lighter weight guys, K1's actually the premium organisation in the world.
Yeah, you said that on last week's show.
Like, there's some good lightweights and stuff in Glory, but K1, in terms of K1 rules with knees and all that, really is a premier organisation.
Yeah, Asia is the place to go. But I think K1's on top.
The depth of talent in like China and stuff, where they're going to be running some of those shows, is unbelievable, just because of the sheer population.
Yeah, that's right.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
I've got a Masato story, if you want to go back to Masato.
Yes.
He was the like a guest like presenter. He did a speech when I fought Raul Katinas in the 2012.
I remember that
K1
fight.
In
no one
Tokyo.
Gave you any hope against him, and you flogged
him.
Well,
he was
you?
Like, everyone's talking him up like the next Jerome Labano, who's just like legend. And I thought, man, we actually picked him out to fight. I'm like, man, that's a pretty good style matchup for me, because he's a little dude. He fell on a pin.
Yes.
Once a week for 3 years. And he's just like a 105 kilo, but really he should be like an 85 kilo guy. Like, I'm dead at 100 kilos. If I got 100, I'm in Tom Hanks in Philadelphia if I'm at 100 kilos.
Yeah, right.
You know? So we picked him out. Anyway, had a you know fight and all that was awesome, but Masato was like did like a little guest speech and stuff there, and I've gone to go up and say g'day, but it was right before he did his speech, and he must have been nervous as hell. The guy's had like a million fights. He's a legend. He's one of the most exciting guys ever, and he's sort of just sitting there like talking to himself. He's muttering, and I've gone to like waiting for my moment to jump in between his conversation with himself, and it never came, so I didn't actually get to meet him.
Yeah, right.
So the only time I actually saw Masato when he's sitting there like talking to himself. Sweating bullets. Yeah, and he wasn't even fighting. He was about to do a speech.
Speaking in public for a lot of people is one of the scariest things you can do.
Yeah, you can fight, you get risk getting knocked down in front of the world, but public speaking.
Yeah, one person with a microphone.
Fear is relative.
It took me a few years to get my head around that when I started.
Fear
in radio.
Is so relative, man. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast this week on one of those, you know, those crazy clips on YouTube where the guys are doing parkour on the top of skyscrapers and stuff.
Mental.
And this guy's like, oh, that's all right, but I never base jump. You got to rely on the parachute too much. What?
Wow.
So they're just crazy dudes.
Nice. Man. So when is the K1 tournament that you're heading over for, Josh?
It's on the 3rd of November.
Okay. Is that Tokyo?
Tokyo, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So you've got Melbourne Cup and then Time Bomb Tonner.
Hey.
Yeah, nice.
It's an Aussie sporting massive month.
Yeah, bloody oath.
How good's that? Do you know who you're matched up against yet?
This guy's name's Tiago Ozawa. So there's there's four Japanese guys and four other international opponents.
Do you know where the other guys are from?
There's a British guy, I forgot his name, Jamie Whelan, a French guy and a Chinese guy.
Oh, cool.
So now is it for a numpty like me when it comes to K1, is it a round robin thing, Josh, like when
one
Ben did the Oceania?
So yeah, it's all one night.
Three fights to the final and then win the final, is that how it works?
Yeah, three fights, one night.
Okay, so third fight would be the final if you get that far?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you prepare for that? Like, I mean, we've got a question coming up for Ben about how he prepares in the final week of a fight. But
for a tournament.
When you're going to fight in a tournament, you know, like a gala day in soccer, and you could have possibly, you know, three or four of these guys to fight, three of them, how do you prepare for that?
Well, I think I'm fairly new to it. I've only done one tournament. So all we're trying to do is just build up a huge fitness base level. So I'm just getting heaps of rounds. Like the last weekend I sparred over 40 rounds. And then sort of we just taper as we're going along. But like the last week I think I'll do three rounds on the pads, have a bit of a break, another three, have a break, another three.
I remember when I was in the gym and you were sparring, was it Benny Thompson?
Oh yeah.
And I go, oh, how many rounds are you going to do today? Because I sort of helped them. I was just there waiting for a mate.
Yeah, right.
I go, how many rounds are you looking to do? And it was like, what, midday or 11 or something? Yeah. And Josh just goes, yeah, about 12 o'clock we'll go to. Shit. Well, I need to know exactly how many rounds I'm doing so I can set that goal.
Yep.
So I know there's my rest. I'm getting a rest at that time.
Yep. Yeah.
As soon as the clock hits here, I'm good. But Josh just goes for an hour.
That's awesome, man. That's fantastic. So, I mean, you mentioned Israel before. I know he's obviously got degrees in sports science and things like that. He's been a big help to your career, hasn't he?
Oh, man. He was one of the reasons that I got out of Canberra. Like, I love fighting in Canberra, but he helped me not only with my skills and, like, you know, just kickboxing ability, but he helped me, you know, show me there's more out there than just Canberra.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, very, very nice. Well, mate, anyone else I know in this game, sponsors mean a lot to you guys because you sort of forgo a lot as far as career goes to concentrate on your dream and things like that. Is there any sponsors you want to give a shout out to?
I've sort of like lost a few sponsors on the way. I don't know if I even have any.
Benny knows all about that, don't you?
Check out my last Facebook post.
Monster Sports and Nutrition.
There was a guy, Martin Vlott. He's a lawyer. He helped me get to I-1, which was in Hong Kong, and he's been helping me out. He helped me out for this one as well. So, Martin Vlott, thank you, mate. Vlott Litigation and Law.
There you go.
Good on you, Marty.
Very, very nice. And that's and a lot of guys in your position wouldn't get to do what you do without people that spring and help you and go forward. So that's awesome.
Well, Josh used to do security at Parliament House, and he stopped doing that. So, and he started. How many people do you train a week? He lives in the gym. 10? Lives in the gym.
Oh, mate, last year when we were getting set for the charity fight night and stuff, and you know, we'd go in there for training with you. Every time I'd show up, Josh was there always.
Made me feel lazy, man. The truth hurts.
Nice work, mate. Well, listen, best of luck with K1 coming up, and if we can be of any help to promote anything for you, or even if it's just when you come back to get you in and have a chat about how it all went down, man, we'd love to have you back on.
Yeah,
remember,
thanks.
Timmy, haymakers and plenty of them, mate.
Yeah, I want to just add. I want to. I had this little story in my head that I wanted to.
Yeah, go nuts, man! Microphone's yours.
You know, your podcast is Give Yourself an Uppercut.
Yeah,
sure do.
One fight. I think it was. Who did you fight? I think it was Thor Hoopman, maybe, or maybe Andrew Peck. The hardest punch I had all night was an uppercut for myself during the warm-up. So
you gave yourself an uppercut.
Yeah.
That's how you're just knocking the plaque off the neurons. That's how you get focused.
That's fantastic.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, well, we just had a wonderful chat with Josh Tonner, and it is listener question time right now, and the fight theme continues. We've got a question in from Nigel Jeffries. Ben, Nigel the Pom from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy has sent this one in. He's gone, Benny, how do you prep for a fight, and what's your routine in the week leading up to fight night? So, I mean, you've kind of touched on it a little bit before, but you've done all the hard work up to now.
Yeah.
So, a week out from Saturday night, what do you do?
Well, usually the hardest weeks of training are like 2 and 3 weeks out. That's when you're getting absolutely flogged.
Yep.
But the last week, you're sort of just keeping sharp and just keeping your fitness up and keeping your timing in your eye, and all the real hard work's done. But it's always flexible, but it's not set in stone, but it's basically the same thing every time.
So not a huge amount of sparring in the final week?
Well, I do, but only with controlled partners. I think Josh and I spoke about before, we're not huge fans of hard sparring. And as I've spoken about on this show in other weeks, a lot of the UFC fighters don't spar at all, barely anymore. Heaps of heavyweight boxers sparring hard all the time, and they're getting hurt, man. You can see they're concussed. I've been concussed boxing sparring.
Yeah,
it's stupid, man. I go to training to get better.
Is that the same for you, Joshy? Do you do the same thing? You sort of taper off in that final week?
Yeah, I just do the rounds that I'm fighting. So if I'm fighting 5 rounds, just do 5 hard rounds, maybe a bit of shadow boxing, and just visualizing while I'm shadow boxing, and that's about it.
So what do you do when you got a fight, like you mentioned before? You fight 2 weeks in a row. How does that work?
Yeah, all it is just maintaining fitness. So I've done all the hard work before the first fight.
Yep.
And with those last 2 weeks, it was a bit of a disaster. I got sick. I got flu. I got injured as well. Oh, man.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't a great lead into the second fight.
You're not Timmy.
You had a few weeks
ago. Kenny.
Kenny, just dying every day.
Oh, my God. You Kenny.
But if it was a perfect prep, I would just be just maintaining fitness.
Yep.
That's it. Just the 5 rounds that I'll be fighting.
Yep, I'll do it that way.
Well, in the 7 days leading up, I actually like to train the Sunday before, because I know I'm only going to go through till, like, Thursday morning's usually my last session. If I fight in Canberra, when you fight overseas, it's a bit different. Yeah. You've got to worry about travel and all that sort of crap.
And elevation
in Canberra, kind of stuff. Just Thursday morning, blow the lungs out with some hill sprints. Today's been Wednesday. I've got 4 hard rounds of pads this afternoon, the same length I'm fighting, but half the rest.
You won't bounce Friday night, will you? Or you will? Will you work Friday night?
No, I'm
so
off.
You'll take the night off on Friday
well
before the
truly.
Fight. Yeah.
Well, one time before my third fight, I was supposed to fight up in – well, I did fight up in Newcastle, but I worked the night before. So I was going to finish it, like, at Shooters, where I used to work with Josh's dad.
Yeah.
I was going to finish it, like, 3 or 4 in the morning and then drive to Newcastle.
And then sleep all day.
I ended up getting in this huge fight with this gronk of a bloke. Got arrested. Everyone got arrested, but they let me out.
Yeah.
But they took all my clothes. So nothing ever came of it. But I've got out of the watch house, like, 8 a.m. They took all my – so I'm in the white jumpsuit.
Oh, no.
And then I had to drive home, get in a car, no sleep, stressed out if I had to go to court. Nothing came of it.
Did you win that fight in Newcastle?
I had a draw. So I drove up, no sleep. My friend at the time drove me, and he was smoking darts all the way up. Probably wasn't the best guy to travel with. And on the way back, we stopped at the Macca's in Newcastle. And
which one? There's like 400.
Oh, I don't know.
Right in the centre of town?
The main one where they have security.
Yeah, King Street. Yes.
Yeah. Well, this was at Newcastle Panthers.
Oh, right. So just down the road from it. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the hotel we stayed at was where we've stayed a couple of times, right across the road from the Macca's.
Yeah, it used to be the Radisson. I don't know what it is now.
When Jags was there and I was in your corner.
I fought Jack that night.
Yeah, you fought on. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
And we're sitting there eating Macca's, and my mate had a few drinks at the show, but he was actually dry because, I'm falling asleep.
Yeah.
Been awake for bloody 30 hours and had a fight and got arrested. Big day. And we're sitting there in the car, and my mate just, starts making these noises. I'm looking at him like, what the hell? And he vomits, but he holds his hands up over... Sorry, I just banged the mic again.
It's all right, mate.
He holds his hands up over his face.
Oh, and it comes out the sides.
And the vomit comes out the side, smacks like all over my shirt. We got a five-hour drive home. It's like 1 o'clock in the frickin' morning on a Sunday morning. It was a doozy, man. It was an absolute shocker. And so we drove like halfway back, pulled over. Ivan Milat could have got us for sure.
Yeah.
We just pulled over, turned the car off, and slept for like 2 hours. Didn't even like have to move, get comfortable, just close my eyes. And we both woke up like 2 hours later and finished the trip home. But that was an absolute doozy of a trip.
So there you go, Nige. Ben won't be doing that this weekend. That's how not to have a fight.
So I'm taking the night off work.
Yeah. Very good.
So like this Sunday, I did a 4K run. 4K is good for a heavyweight.
Yeah.
It doesn't – everyone goes, you're going to smash your joints. No, I won't. I know how to run properly. I've discussed it on here before. Fittest fat guy in town. And I don't care. I think Josh should agree with me on this. A lot of the sports science guys say, you shouldn't do running. It's not good for you. It's not sports specific, all this shit. But a lot of fighters I talk to, including John Wayne Parr as well, they really rate running as obviously leg conditioning, but just for basic aerobic cardio. I know I feel 1,000,000% better when I'm running in a 3-round fight, a 10-round fight, whatever, than I do if I'm not running. What are your thoughts on that, Timmy?
Yeah, man. You need to run, man, 3-4 times a week. If you can get half of them long distance and half of them a bit shorter, like sprints.
You can't go long. Aerobic and anaerobic training, like sprints and jogging, they complement each other.
Yeah.
You know, just because I'm doing jogging doesn't mean I'm not doing the other stuff. But if I can get a basic level of aerobic fitness from jogging, it's only going to help out with my anaerobic sprinting fitness, my explode and recovery system. So I really rate that. So on Monday, went up to Sydney. As I said, it's very flexible. It changes all the time, but it's basically the same thing. Monday, drove up to Sydney, had 6 rounds of just play sparring. But, you know, we're keeping each other honest. We're whacking each other, but no one's getting hurt. No one's walking out concussed.
Yep.
Just more for fitness and timing. I came home, did 4 rounds of rowing sprints, and then had a 12-hour sleep. I was wrecked. So Tuesday, a 5K row in the morning, but 5K is for – I'm good at rowing. I'm built for rowing. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I know my aerobic fitness is pretty good if I can knock that out in 20 minutes and under. Then I did 6 rounds of light sparring that night, as well as getting my blood tests and all that stuff done during the day. So it can be a bit of a mental thing when you're getting all these vials of blood taken out of you right before you need to perform at your maximum ability. And Manny Pacquiao actually said it like, 5-6 years ago that's why he didn't want to get blood tested anymore, because he had a blood test before one fight, all was clear and all that, but he reckons the amount of blood they took out of him really affected him.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, he might have a case, because they take like 3 or 4 vials out of you. I'm like, mate.
Yeah. You know, I don't think like, it takes fair enough, the body that long
there should
to,
be safety first.
To bring it back, yeah.
100% should be safety first, but if you're like, you know, Josh isn't far off size of Manny.
Yep.
If they're taking 4 vials out of me and I'm thinking, shit, you know, that's a lot of blood. Yeah. It's twice as much blood, like pound for pound, coming out of them.
Area.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Mate, it can do your head in a little bit. So today, as I said, I got 4 rounds on the mitts with 30 seconds rest, half the rest I'm going to have in the fight. So basically just blow the lungs out, keep my eye in, work on some defensive stuff. And tonight I might go for a walk or something. See, I'm pretty sore. My legs are pretty sore. So just go for a walk, get the blood going. Tomorrow morning, hill sprints. Blow the lungs out the back of Sysac. There's a nice little, about 120-meter mountain at the back.
Yep.
That's actually in my Overeem.
Is that, I was going to say, is that that's the one? That's the hill from the Overeem video.
Yeah, so just a bit of a blow the lungs out, but also give the fight muscles a rest.
Yep.
So after today, I'm not punching till I start warming up.
I should come out with the drone tomorrow and film you with the bloody drone as you go.
That'd be cool. And then, Friday, just an active rest right before the weigh-in. I'll go for a walk. Don't worry about cutting weight or anything. So Yeah, just active rest. Saturday, on fight morning, I started doing this before my Aussie title fight. I'll do like just 20 minutes of light shadow, but do some like breathing exercises to stretch the lungs out. Just to, you know, because it's hard when you're – I notice it most when I drive to Sydney to spa, you've been sitting down and haven't moved for 3 hours. It's sort of like car lag.
Yeah.
You can't get going for like half an hour because your lung, you haven't done anything. You've just sort of been immobile for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, every fight morning, I'll get up, do 20 minutes, just super-duper light shadow, get a light sweat. Doesn't take much for me to get sweating. And just some real deep breaths, these real deep breath exercises.
Yep.
And then that's it, mate. Ready to go. Rest, relax, recover, and kick some ass.
Nice work. Hopefully. Well, the fight, it's close to sold out, I do believe, this Saturday night, Benny.
There are plenty of tickets left.
Are there?
But
okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of tables left as well.
Vikings Erindale this Saturday night, the 8th of October. If you are in Australia listening to this in the Canberra region especially and you want to go, how do people get tickets if they want to contact the club or just check Facebook?
You can contact the club. You can look on my Facebook wall. I've got a picture of the poster on there. You can contact Shane Tipper, who's one of my Facebook friends as well. But yeah, just check out the poster on my Facebook wall or contact Tuggeranong Vikings.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
All right, it's listener request time, Scotty. And I'm surprised Duke didn't send this one in.
Oh, really, Duke? Did
he? He is a hardcore Bon Jovi fan. But this Bon Jovi request was from Chris Neal, and it's You Give Love a Bad Name.
Yeah, Chris from Eclipse Lighting and Sound. A lot of the, you go to a big concert in Canberra, the PAs and the light show, very good chance Chris may have put them in. That's what he does for a living. Did you see the NRL Grand Final on the weekend? Did you see Richie Sambora?
I did.
Did you watch it?
I did.
What did you think?
I didn't know he was dating Ori Anthony.
Yeah, he's been dating her for a couple of years now.
Imagine the genetics on the kids' guitar skills.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Not bad.
It wasn't very good, though,
I think it was just a contrast because Keith nailed it.
Yeah.
And Richie just looked like, mate, the party's over, Richie.
They reckon he's hit the bottle again, sadly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was here 2 years ago, and apparently his concerts 2 years ago got rave reviews. People said he was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And this time around, he's been shit-canned by everybody.
Yeah, really?
So,
how old is he?
He'd be 60-odd. He'd be getting close to 60, but they reckon he's found the bottle again.
No one ages as well as Bloody. Who's the guitarist? Not Jagger, the guitarist for the Stones.
Keith Richards.
No one ages as well as him.
No, well,
he's
still
killing it.
He has his blood filtered every year.
So he should. He's Mr. Burns, man. He's going to live forever.
Yeah, Keith can't be killed by mortal means.
Can we let talk about the grand final now?
If you want to, sure.
Before the song request?
Well, let's play the song.
And then we'll
come
about
back
and
talk about the grand final because I think I've got an uppercut out of the grand final.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, all right. Let's
You're an angry man,
Here we go. He's Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
There they are, Bon Jovi. You give love a bad name. Richie Sambora just gives Bon Jovi a bad name these days after his performance at the NRL Grand Final.
I was surprised he was actually singing the Bon Jovi songs.
Yeah, me too, because his solo albums were fantastic. He's written some great songs. So.
But obviously, there's no problem with the rights and stuff. Him and Bon are cool.
No, they're not. They're not at all. But
they're not
cool. You can perform.
Why are they cool, man?
Well, they had a huge falling out a couple of years ago. Yeah, and it was all to do with Richie's drinking.
Why didn't someone tell me?
Just pay attention to pop culture, Benny, and you'll be fine. But no, anyone can play anybody's songs in a live setting. That's fine. I mean, re-recording them and releasing them then you've got to get copyright.
Because I went to a Jimmy Barnes concert, and everyone was asking, "Oh, did he play any Cold Chisel stuff?" Well, yeah, he knocked him out because no one was really too sure if he was allowed to or not.
Yeah, no, you're allowed to. And when you are a musician and you do live performances, because it happens with us, because we had our old lead singer left. He'd written some of our songs and stuff like that. So when we do a gig, we put in what's called an APRA performance report. So, and essentially royalties get paid to the songwriters of the songs we play live. So you do. Whoever wrote the songs gets a bit of cash. That's how it works. So you can play whatever you want.
No, that's fair enough.
But the grand final, what did you think about the grand final, Benny? Did you watch it?
Yeah, good game. Watch it with the old man in hospital. Yep. Third GF in hospital with the old man. He was pretty heartbroken at the end.
Well, he's a Storm supporter, isn't he?
Hardcore Storm supporter since day dot, 99.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay.
So, but yeah, awesome game, man. Cam Smith, 72 tackles. Yeah. That was pretty bloody awesome.
Oh, it was. There's no doubt the guy's a great player. I just had a very bad taste in my mouth over the whole cookbook scandal and the whole, oh, we didn't know we were getting overpaid. Piss off, you didn't.
Well, I'll still take him over Ennis.
Yeah. Ennis had a great game. Cronulla played really well. They took Cooper Cronk out. Like, Cooper Cronk had the worst game I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
So
I read that in the paper today. What about next year? The Sharks actually have 16 players off contract. How bad's that?
It's the joys of the salary cap.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
that's a similar point to what I brought up with Vaughny, who things are looking up for him as well.
Well, all reports, it looks like Vaughny's going to St. George.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's on the way to Fiji as we speak.
Instead of the red and blue.
Yeah, well, I text him and went, D-R-A-G-O-N does not spell Knights. What the f***? And he just sent one back going, oh, just rumours, bro, rumours. Don't lie to me. I reckon he'll be in the red V next year. St. George do that. St. George has basically bought the Canberra squad from about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Dugan and they bought Joshy Miller. They bought Josh McCrone. They bought a heap of Raiders players. Joel Thompson's there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one way to destroy the hoodoo.
I had a point,
hoodoo.
But I just forgot it, man.
Yeah.
Keep talking. What was I going to say? Josh?
Something about the NRL Grand Final? You really wanted to talk about it. That's why we're talking about it.
Oh, it was just those 2 points I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
16 players off contract, 72 tackles. I just wanted to sound smart, man.
All right. And obviously
stats.
The
stats, man. I'm Dave. What's that guy?
David Middleton.
That's me, man.
I mean, the big thing out of the grand final with the announcement of the Kangaroos squad that Gal got left out, Corey Parker got left out.
Fifita.
I mean, Fifita, and that's who I want to give the uppercut to. There's nothing wrong with sticking by your mate, even if your mate has committed a horrendous crime, but then using the NRL and a public forum as a platform to support a murderer, that's not on. Go and visit your mate in jail.
Yeah.
You know, do that. That's fine. But then to wear something on your wrist
when your
games are televised, knowing that the poor family are watching, Thomas Kelly's family are watching that. Yeah. Like, haven't they been through enough shit?
Look at the kid that passed away, mate. You could see, man. He was a baby.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And then earlier this year, his brother killed himself because he couldn't handle all the pressure.
Yeah.
That family's been through so much. So for Fifita to do that, it's just morally wrong.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
On so many levels.
Yeah, and it just shows you what a dickhead the guy is. So I don't mind him being left out of the Aussie squad.
But it's good. It's good. Like, I read another thing in the paper today because I've really been reading the paper a lot today. They're like really trying to
bring a culture.
How you conduct yourself off the field is almost as important as how you play on it.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I believe that. Especially when you're in the public eye.
You know, I don't think sportsmen should be role models for young kids and stuff, and I know why they are. I mean, we all look up to them as such, but if your parents aren't your biggest role models, especially when you're a tiny kid, your parents are doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, as a parent, you should be your kid's role model.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, so let's give Fifita an uppercut, shall we?
Look, how about we'll get Josh to give him an uppercut?
Okay, all right. Joshy, you ready to go, son?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Josh is just Josh hasn't woken up from my common cold
Josh
segment.
Josh just gave himself an uppercut. Josh checked out.
All right, here we go. Nice work, Joshy. Fantastic stuff.
Oh, I taught him that.
Oh, dear. Well, listen, hopefully next week, Benny, we'll be talking about your big win on Saturday night.
If not, I'll MIA.
Gone?
I'll call in.
Have yourself a great one, folks. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on email as well.
Get a big black dog up, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You stole my line,
so I can
man.
Say, see you, folks. Have a great week. Share the shit out of the podcast.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and the butcher shop Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.